If you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. this year, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible donation to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind when you consider your year-end giving. The Cambridge Singers with the first stanza of the Christmas hymn, All My Heart This Night Rejoices. There are some celebrations in the church's life that cannot be confined to one church service. The big ones, we think about them. Really, if you stop and think about it, Easter is so big that it can't be confined to one weekend. It takes over every weekend of the church's life. Every Lord's Day is an Easter. And in the same sense, although we don't think about it this way, every Lord's Day is also a Christmas. But when we celebrate Christmas proper, the actual celebration of Christ's birth, it is a feast, as my guest in this hour says, too big to fit into one observance, too big to fit into one service. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Christmas Eve. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Pastor Will Wheaton on the church's observance of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we'll discuss Handel's Messiah on the Incarnation with Dr. Joseph Hurl of Concordia University, Nebraska. Pastor Will Wheaton is a regular guest director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's host of a radio show called Thy Strong Word. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. It is a joy to be with you.
So what do you mean by that, that this is a feast too big to fit into one service for the church?
Well, it's the very nature of the church's year that it recognizes the huge gift that Jesus is and how he literally, you can't squeeze all of him into one service, but there's some facets of the story of salvation that are just too big to try to celebrate everything in one liturgy without really then neglecting some very important points. So when we come to the Feast of Our Lord's Nativity, we see that it's celebrated properly in three services. There's a fourth one we're going to talk about first that kind of kicks it off on some occasions. But there are three services to particularly open up for us the entirety of the Luke's telling of the story and John's.
Okay, the feast itself celebrated in three services, which would be kind of the midnight, that is when the day turns over,
right,
the dawn and the morning.
Right.
We're going to talk first about this Eve thing. And for
right,
most people, Christmas Eve is the thing. Most people stay at home on Christmas morning.
Now, isn't that weird? That is one of the weirdest things to me that blows me away. I am thankful to be part of a parish where Christmas morning is packed. There's no way that we could be content with the Eve alone. But the service that we have in our book called The Nativity of Our Lord Christmas Eve, really historically, this is the service that's used only occasionally when the fourth Sunday of Advent happens to fall on Christmas Eve. In that case, the fourth Sunday of Advent and its readings are bumped, and the set of readings applied for Christmas Eve are given. Now, this is unique. You would, as you would expect, the readings are Isaiah 7, right? The Behold, a Virgin shall conceive. Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, set at my right hand. The 1 John 4, God has made us to be his children. And at Matthew 1, so this is the only time when this occasion happens that we actually hear the Christmas story from St. Matthew, which is, if you will, the perspective of Joseph on the Christmas story.
Usually it's Luke's gospel running the show.
Luke runs the show for the first two services of Christmas and John for the last. But certainly on that early service, we have Joseph's account. Let me just share the gospel. It's a short reading here. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So, you know, sort of focusing more on the role of Joseph, as you would expect if it's Joseph's telling of the story. And you notice right away, unlike in Luke, where the angel appears directly to the Blessed Virgin, in this account, the angel appears to Joseph in a dream, which fits really well with Joseph bearing the name of his forebear, Joseph, to whom God always was speaking in dreams. So the focus here is indeed the virgin will give birth and bear a son, and he's going to have a special name. Now, the church is going to have a whole liturgy about the name coming up on the day when the child's name is officially given with the circumcision. That would be January 1st. But this night, the focus is on the Lord has, or this day, the focus is on the Lord has given us a Savior, Jesus, born of the Blessed Virgin, and as revealed to Joseph, this came through the working of the Holy Spirit.
Is the intention of the Christmas Eve service, that is a service that's held on the day before, mm-hmm. not necessarily the evening before, but the day before.
The day before. Mm-hmm.
Is it an Advent purpose, or is it, because we often draw that line Advent and Christmas. Is it really properly more fitted, as you said before, it's used when the fourth Sunday of Advent falls on Christmas Eve, and it takes over. Is it an Advent service?
Well, you listen to the collect, and you tell me what you think.
Okay.
Oh God, you make us glad with the yearly remembrance of the birth of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that as we joyfully receive him as our Redeemer, we may with sure confidence behold him when he comes as our Judge. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. I mean, doesn't it sound as though you've got, I mean, yeah, the remembrance of the Lord's birth is there, but Advent has not let go its hold. Mm-hmm. So you definitely hear that tone run through it.
What else is there in that Christmas Eve service that, as we're kind of pointing out here, has become by default the church's celebration of Christmas for so many, the quintessential Christmas service? What else is there that you would recommend to us?
Well, certainly it's good to note also the gradual, because this is really a key. Quoting from Psalm 98, Psalm 98 it might seem really weird to people as the Christmas psalm, but over and over and over again in the church's liturgy, she uses Psalm. And by the way, the hymn Joy to the World is a paraphrase of Psalm 98. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Remember, the name is Jesus, but Yahweh saves. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. And so Christmas is going to celebrate this beautiful unveiling of the Father, where he pulls back the veil, if you will, and reveals to us his son as our salvation, as righteousness, which is what all people truly need, though they don't realize that they need it. This is the premier gift that he could give us, the gift of his own righteousness. He comes in the flesh to accomplish it and deliver it.
Is this service intended to be kind of a full-blown, since it is kind of Advent-ish and leaning over into Christmas a little bit, is it intended to be kind of what it has become, the full-blown celebration of Christmas? Or
no.
Is it intended to be still in anticipation of the big blowout feast?
It's still in anticipation, and it is clearly a service of preparation still. Although it's being on the eve, it definitely connects tightly to the day. But this is Christmas Eve in the sense of the day, not Christmas Eve in the sense of the evening before Christmas.
What are your thoughts on the fact that this has been co-opted, that the evening before Christmas, whether it's a Christmas Eve service or not, has been kind of co-opted by Living Nativities? The children's program often gets stuck right here.
I mean, our church uses the children's program at 7 p.m. The evening before, and it's one of the massively best attended services
for obvious reasons
at our church. Yeah, I mean, you know, parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles. I think that it, by itself, it is wonderful to have that celebration, but we need to really encourage people that there is more. There is so much more than you can fit into the children's program, or the a lot of churches will do a lessons and carols that night or something like that. That's great. They're beautiful. Those are pious customs. But the church's liturgy tells you, hang tight, the big stuff is still to come, and that would lead us into the. I do want to point out one thing though. We said that this service has both Advent and Christmas. It does use the Christmas preface, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But it really is anchored in both worlds, if you will.
Okay. On a Sunday, on a Lord's Day, where it's intended to go, I would assume that it would be altogether proper for the celebration of the Eucharist at this service if it's falling on a Sunday.
Yes.
If it falls in the middle of the week, as it does 9 times out of 10, where churches are still doing a Christmas Eve service, should they have the Lord's Supper? Should they say, no, that's for the feast tomorrow? What should they do?
Certainly a congregation. I mean, the Lord has not given us any kind of a command about how often we have to do the supper. So the church is free to celebrate this if she wanted to every single day. But the point of the way the liturgy is actually devised, the Lord's Supper will be celebrated not once, not twice, but 3 times for the Feast of the Lord's. Now, this is highly unusual stuff here. In fact, there was an old canon law that pastors could only celebrate the Lord's Supper once a day on any normal Sunday. You know, that was just the way it was. It was to avoid in the days where people were buying and selling masses, well, I'll say 20 masses and collect some money for it. You know, no. I mean, all that stuff obviously was wiped out by the Lutheran Reformation. But this recognition that on Christmas something is happening, that the fullness of the celebration, you can actually receive the Lord's Supper 3 times on that day if your church has the full complement of services. And I will hasten to point out that most of our parishes will only have 2 of these services. Most all of them neglect the one that's at dawn, because if the people were at church at midnight, it's hard to get on back at church at dawn.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the church's observance of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. We'll turn from Eve to Day with Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, host of a radio show called Thy Strong Word. Christ at the Center, the Justification of the Ungodly, a Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, the Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Rocking around the Christmas tree. It's the most wonderful time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Tired of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, sacred music for the Christmas season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the Christmas season, coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Stanza one of the Christmas hymn on Christmas night, All Christians Sing, sung by the King's College Choir. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. on this Christmas Eve. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're talking about the church's observance of Christmas Eve, Christmas midnight, dawn, and day. That brings us up to midnight. Now, what is this service? Most people would say, isn't that Christmas Eve?
This is one of the great Christmas hymnody and start looking around, and you'll begin to notice something kind of weird. It came upon
a midnight clear.
She bore to us a Savior when half spent was the night. Where does this idea come from that it was at midnight that the Savior's born? The key to this, believe it or not, this is going to sound really strange and weird, but hang with me here. In the Book of Wisdom, which is in the Apocrypha, in chapter 18, verse 14 and 15, listen to these words. For while gentle silence enveloped all things, and night in its swift course was now half gone, your all-powerful word leaped from heaven, from the royal throne, into the midst of a land that was doomed. This is talking about the angel of God coming into Egypt to inflict death on the firstborn. But the early church, when they heard those words, they went, whoa, that's like what he came to do. Only he's not inflicting death on us. He comes to inflict as the warrior death on death, death on Satan. There's a great, great carol by, I can't remember the guy's name, English guy. This little child, so few days old, has come to rifle Satan's soul. This little babe, mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful piece. It's in that wonderful, who did all those carols? I'm getting old and forgetting these things,
yes.
Todd.
it's a lot of battle imagery.
Yeah.
On one side is all of Satan's minions, and on the other side is this
little
mewing,
babe.
Crying
yeah, yeah,
baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Who shakes for cold.
Or down at the Boar's Head Carol, you'll sometimes will hear the language of, he hunted down through death and hell that swart boar death until it fell. The picture of Christ coming as the hunter, Christ coming, putting death and sin and Satan on the run. And this happens from this passage in Wisdom, midnight. So this becomes very fixed very early, and the church begins celebrating this literally in the middle of the night.
Now, is that the source of when all was still and it was midnight?
Yes.
Is that the source of that?
That is indeed. It is. So you're quoting there the same words from the intro. For Christmas midnight literally begins, when all was still and it was midnight, your almighty word, O Lord, descended from the royal throne. They came down, leapt to descend it. And there the royal throne would be from Mary's body. The eternal word there descends. And then the response, why do the nations rage? Why do the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. The warfare, right? They're coming against him. But the one who sits in heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. He terrifies them in his wrath and in his fury, saying, As for me, I set my king on Zion, my holy hill. And then the church joins in giving glory to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then they repeat again, when all was still, and it was midnight. Your almighty word, O Lord, descended from the royal throne. So you come to church on this night, and the tone of the hymns, the tone of the worship is so peaceful, soft, reverent. If you've never been to the midnight service, do yourself a favor and find one and go to it. I dearly love it at St. Paul's. Listen to, like, so I mean, this is, and this will be the first time since Advent began that the great Gloria will sound again. So at the
Glory
altar,
to God in the highest.
Right. The pastor will sing, Glory be to God on high, and people, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. The hymn floated down from heaven on this night. So it's welcome back in the middle of the night when the angels would have been proclaiming this message. Then the collect. Listen to the collect for this. This is the most beautiful. Oh God, you make this most holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that as we have known the mysteries of that light on earth, we may also come to the fullness of his joys in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. So, yeah, I did a little article for Lutheran Witness on this, but notice this. It is his joys. So, the light that brightens and illumines this night isn't a thing. It's a person. And it's a person who comes among us. Literally, he's going to come in the speaking of his word. He's going to come above all in the sacrament of his body and blood. And the church is going to sing to him and welcome him. And it is one of the most joyous, beautiful liturgies. The readings, let me give the readings this night because it's such really huge too. The first reading is from Isaiah 9 at midnight. So, you know, this is unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Father, and that probably, I like the Septuagint version of that. Father of the age to come. You know, this is who this child is. It's going to really, literally be the source of a brand new age in the history of the world, where love reigns over all. Psalm 96, well, we already hit on 98. 96 and 98 are like kissing cousins. Titus 2, the grace of God that brings salvation to all men has appeared. So let us renounce the ways of darkness and live in this joyous kingdom of light. It trains us to renounce all that. And then finally, the gospel. I have to read the gospel. I wish I had the King James. Linus does it best. This is the gospel for that night. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased, or peace on earth, goodwill toward men. The swaddling clothes, that was not unusual. You know, that's just normal baby diapers, what you would find. But swaddling clothes and a baby light being laid in a manger, that's the sign. And so God always locates himself, promises, this is where I'll be for you to find me, where I will bless you. So on this night, the manger is the altar. There, literally the same one born of Mary, her flesh and her blood, that is what is present on the altar there. Jesus Christ, and he comes to his faithful to give to them a light that no darkness is ever going to be. They can take that light through the darkness of death without fear, for it will not fail them. It is the light of God's love beaming through this child.
And this service, I take it, is purposefully just the beginning. It's the service in the darkness. It's the service where the light may just be candles in the hands of the worshipers.
Yeah, I mean, one of the customs that has risen among us for this is that during, well, a couple, let me just talk briefly about the music. You would have, the hymn of the day here is From Heaven Above, Luther's fantastic hymn. Our organist, who is Roman Catholic, always says, oh, all 15 stanzas. We're like, yes, you're not dropping a one of them. So they're just joyous. This whole story of salvation. Then during the distribution itself, it's very common on this night to have some soloist sing, Oh Holy Night, you know, this beautiful French carol. The stars are brightly shining. This is the night of our dear Savior's birth. But the most wonderful moment to me, after you have received the body and blood of Christ, we light the candles. And the light of the candles fill the whole church, and otherwise it's dark. And the people sing. They sing, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And of course, it would be high treason in our tradition these days not to close the service with Stille Nacht, Silent Night. And that sort of brings this gentle movement at the beginning, where you gather with shepherds, Joseph and Mary in the darkness of the stable cave. You come together with them to give your praise and your thanks to Jesus. So what captures it more than anything else, a contemporary hymn, brand new, from Jaroslav Ajda, where shepherds lately knelt and kept the angel's word. I come in half belief, a pilgrim strangely stirred, but there is room and welcome there for me. But there is room and welcome there for me. In that unlikely place, I find him, as they said, sweet newborn babe, how frail, and in a manger bed. A still small voice to cry one day for me. A still small voice to cry one day for me. How should I not have known Isaiah would be there? His prophecies fulfilled. With pounding heart I stare. A child, a son, the Prince of Peace for me. A child, a son, the Prince of Peace for me. Can I, will I forget how love was born and burned its way into my heart, unasked, unforced, unearned, to die, to live, and not alone for me, to die, to live, and not alone for me.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're talking about the church's observance of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. He's director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. He hosts a radio show called Thy Strong Word. When we come back, we're going to talk about Christmas dawn and day. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues, Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
Fall is here, and it's time to toss your boots and pack your suits to escape the chill of winter. Opening its doors this December in Mexico, Hyatt Ziva is the perfect repose for all-inclusive splendor. With 9 restaurants, bars, and lounges to choose from each day, and sumptuous suites to retreat to each night, Hyatt Ziva is the only one in the region with a secluded beach. And for a limited time, you can enjoy a discount as part of their grand opening celebration. Call your travel agent or visit allinclusive.hyatt.com.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The world celebrates its Christmas because its Christ was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger.
The Church's Christmas, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
The Church celebrates her Christmas because the true Christ was crucified and wrapped in burial cloths and laid in the tomb.
For any size year-end donation, we'll send you an audio link of this sermon and an Advent sermon preached by Todd. Donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Please include your email address in the memo line. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. when you consider your year-end giving. issuesetc.org or Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234, and write your email address in the memo line of your check.
Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, with the first stanza of the Christmas hymn of the Father's Love Begotten. We're talking about the Church's observance of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. On this Christmas Eve, Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Now, that hymn of the Father's Love Begotten, kind of like the bell is ringing, waking you up on Christmas morning, very gently waking you up for what is going to be the second biggest day in the Church's celebration.
Right.
So let's talk about dawn on Easter morning.
So this is oftentimes called the Aurora Divine Service, which just means Latin for dawn, the dawn service. And as I said at the beginning, it is by far the most neglected of the divine liturgy. You will be hard pressed to find a Lutheran church offering the service at 6 a.m.
Sunrise.
You know, sunrise. Basically, think of it as Christmas sunrise service. But listen to how this service actually goes. First of all, the intro it for the day. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. To us a child is born. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall not be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. You're looking at the baby as you're saying all of this. You know, and the whole point of this service, by the way, is that you're joining with the shepherds in their adoration. We'd sort of dropped off with the shepherds being told by the angel, and you know, all heaven breaking loose above their heads as the angelic hymn sounds forth. But now the focus is on, okay, what are you going to do with this news? What do you do with this? There's two things that happen that they do with this. First of all, they go to adore, and then they depart to announce. So let's sort of pick this up with the collect of the day, the prayer. So the services, everything, I mean, that introit, and then Kyrie, Gloria, same as normal. Then you come to the prayer for the day. Most merciful God, you gave your eternal word to become incarnate of the pure virgin. Grant your people grace to put away fleshly lusts, that they may be ready for your visitation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. So then the readings, Micah chapter 5 kicks it off. This is, you know, O you Bethlehem Ephrathah, you are by no means least among the tribes of Judah. From you will come this one who will govern my people Israel. And remember the promise, he would stand as a shepherd, and he will be their peace. So, you know, all this information about who this is that we're joining the shepherds and bowing down before. Titus 3, fascinating to many people. It's like, well, wait a minute. Why does baptism, Titus 3 verses 4 to 7, why does baptism get big play on Christmas Day? Well, if you stop and think about it, it should make an awful lot of sense. This is the day that God was born into the flesh, that through him we might be born again as the children of God. So baptism simply drips throughout the Christmas feast. It's everywhere you look, because everything that is his by nature, he puts into the water to become yours by grace.
So we get his birth in baptism.
You get his birth, yeah. That kind of talk of the new birth. And then the gospel reading for this morning. These words, when the angels went away from them, Luke chapter 2, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. Pet peeve of mine is when pastors read that as though Mary, Joseph, and the babe were all lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that was told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So there's so much there. First of all, they say to each other, let us go. So this is the great hymn for this is Gerhardt's beautiful text. Come your hearts and voices raising, Christ the Lord with gladness praising, loudly sing his love amazing, worthy folk of Christendom. Christ from heaven to us descending, and in love our race befriending, in our need his help extending, saved us from the wily foe. Jacob's star in all its splendor beams with comfort sweet and tender, forcing Satan to surrender, breaking all the powers of hell. From the bondage that oppressed us, from sin's fetters that possessed us, from the grief that sore distressed us, we the captives now are free. Oh, the joy beyond expressing when by faith we grasp this blessing, and to you we come confessing that your love has set us free. Gracious child, we pray, oh, hear us. From your lowly manger, cheer us. Gently lead and be near us till we join your choir above. It's the song of the shepherds that we're invited to join in it as we come to the manger and adore him. And when they say the things that have been told them about the child, we're told that, you know, those who heard it, as Joseph, Mary, whoever there was with them, wondered at what was said, marveled about it. But the big word there is from in verse 19, but Mary treasured up. This is that Synteren word in Greek. She held in her heart and turned it over and looked at it and thought about it. And when they were gone, she turned it over and thought about it and looked at it. She held the words that they said, the words that the angel had said about the child. She held it in her heart and pondered it. This, you're going to see this pattern of Mary over and over again in Luke's gospel. Later on, when a woman cries out, you know, blessed is the womb who bore you and the breasts of which you were nursed, Jesus answered, you know, well, rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And people sometimes hear that as a put down of Mary. I mean, no, that's actually saying, you know, he's saying, don't praise my mom because she's physically gave birth to me and nursed me, but praise my mom because she heard and kept the word that came from God. And in that, she becomes model for all of us Christians, that we take this incredible Christmas message to heart. And as we ponder it, we hold it there. But then we also, with the shepherds, go out glorifying and praising God and telling everybody about it.
And the emphasis there is, and this was pointed out recently on the program, the emphasis there is on what they'd seen and heard just as it had been told them.
Yeah.
The word is very powerful here. It's the word that comes to the shepherds through the angels. It's the word that sends them to Bethlehem. And it's the word that kind of rebounds back and goes out through them.
Right.
To everyone.
And it literally brings them into lives of doxology. You know, the shepherds returned glorifying, making doxologies and praising God for everything that they've heard and seen. And boy, you know, if there's one thing that really needs to fix the ridiculously wimpy witness of Christendom, Todd, it's not fixed by, you know, pounding on evangelism drums and heaping guilt on people. It's found by this. Send the people of God, bring the people of God to the place where God himself promises to be for them, the manger of today, the cross of today, that bring them to the altar, and then send them forth glorifying and praising God, and you will have powerful witness going on in the whole world.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We'll take another break, and we'll have about 15 minutes with him on this Christmas Eve, talking about the church's observance of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. He's director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. After our conversation with Pastor Wheaton, we will talk with Dr. Joseph Hurl of Concordia University, Nebraska, about Handel's Messiah on the Incarnation. Stay tuned.
Clark, it's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Maybe getting a faithful pastor seems as exciting as a membership in the Jelly of the Month Club, but that kind of thinking can lead to the unbiblical removal of pastors from the office of the Holy Ministry, the topic of our next ACELC conference, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Register at acelc.net, because faithful pastors really are a gift that keeps on giving. See why at acelc.net.
Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit OutdoorNativityStore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Praise, O Christ, your holy name. Truly, you were the child who came from virgin, a born and just for this.
The Christmas hymn, We Praise, O Christ, Your Holy Name, sung by the Concordia Seminary Chorus. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. 10 more minutes with Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. On this Christmas Eve, we're talking about the Church's observance of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. We've talked about dawn, and I think there's probably a lot more we could say about this dawn service. But what distinguishes the Church's observance of Christmas dawn, which you say is the most neglected of all the services, from the one that then, if you go to church on Christmas Day, you'll be familiar with,
yeah,
the Christmas
this is the one.
Day service.
Yeah, this service actually focuses very distinctly on the prologue from John. So this is going to mark the day that way. One, this is the service where if you attend, most of the time, like your entrance hymn will be, O come, all ye faithful. And it's not just chosen... it's not just chosen because it's a popular hymn. It's chosen because of, you know, God of God, light of light, eternal, the inner stanzas of the hymn absolutely dovetail with the gospel reading for the day. It has, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the same antiphon that we heard at the Aurora service, the dawn service. But then it goes to Psalm 98 instead. Sing to the Lord a new song. He has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Jesus is that right hand and that holy arm working salvation for the Lord. In the sight of all the nations, he's remembered his steadfast love, his faithfulness to the house of Israel. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. That is, not just to the Father, but to the Son who has now taken on human flesh, all the earth, break forth into joyous song and sing praises. So the prayer for the day begins, Almighty God, grant that the birth of your only begotten Son in the flesh may set us free from the bondage of sin. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Luther has lots of beautiful sermons on this where he talks about the importance of changing your birth with his. His birth is sinless, it's pure. Your birth is stained with original sin. You need a new birth. You need his birth to be given to you, which is why, once again, the epistle reading is the same one that was at dawn. Titus 3, the baptismal text, that he saved us by the washing of regeneration. And new birth and the Holy Spirit. You know, an American translation actually does a better job, I think, of getting that into English than almost any other one. He saved us by the washing in which he gave us a new birth and a new life. There it is. All right. The readings that shock on this day, you see people sort of sit up and look every year. They look in amazement when you start reading the Old Testament reading. Because the Old Testament reading is about the final construction of the tabernacle and how then the glory of God came and overshadowed the tabernacle and filled it. And that's the Old Testament reading. You're like, well, what does that have to do with Christmas? Only everything. Because then you get to the gospel reading for the day. These beautiful words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And if we were reading this in Greek, the dwelt would have had huge meaning. The word there, the skene word, is the word for pitching his tent. So you literally could translate it, the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us, and we saw his glory. This is the story from Exodus brought into human flesh. Here it's not some external constructed tent. Here the tent of God is actually the flesh that Mary gave birth to on this night. And John proclaims, you know, we saw his glory. I've often wondered if that was, you know, in John's gospel, glory does tie directly to the cross. But I've often wondered if this was a reference to John's talking about the transfiguration. Yeah, you know, we actually saw his glory. It was a glory that could only belong to the only Son of the Father, who is full, overflowing with grace and with truth. And so this is the focus of the main Christmas Day service. God has pitched his tent in our midst to give us his grace and his truth. And the one who came in the flesh comes in the flesh. The same flesh he received from Mary, we now receive in the sacrament of the altar. He still causes his light to shine that way. And the beautiful Alleluia verse that goes in front of that gospel, Alleluia, a holy day has dawned upon us. Come, all you nations, and worship the Lord. The missional thrust of Christmas, that this coming into the flesh of the Son of Man, it's not just for the people gathered there, although it is for all of them, but it is for every single person in this world. Come, we call them, and join us in the worship of this one.
This is, to couple this with Jesus, what we would call the Annunciation, his incarnation, his conception, and his birth. This is celebrated by the church as, to come back to that, that this is for the world.
Mm-hmm.
That this is the world's history being changed by God's intervention. All tied up in that word, that God is with us.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that, if you would, the minutes left that we have.
Well, the God who is with us, Emmanuel, his coming into the flesh literally begins a brand new creation. I often try to illustrate this on a board. Let me see if I can do it over the air. It's kind of weird. Picture a two lines that come to a point on the right, if you will, and that's this fallen age begun in Adam. Because of the fall, it always ends in death. But into this fallen age, where everything inclines and moves toward death and sadness, there comes, picture the same angle coming down the other way into it, there comes this moment of the conception, incarnation, birth of Jesus Christ into the flesh. And all of a sudden, in this world, there is one who is going to literally burst through death and open up all of that glorious age to come. It literally is planted into this world in his in his incarnation. There at that moment, there's a beachhead of the kingdom that will be living in human flesh. And for the first time, there is human flesh that is obedient to God from start to finish in a holiness that is so perfected that it avails for all people. It goes through death, bursts the hole in it, and opens in the way to eternal life. And Christmas is the celebration of that coming, that planting into this fallen world, into our own flesh, into our own blood, of a life that has no end, and the promise of coming forgiveness of sins.
So the Christmas celebration is uniquely, in its own way, cross-focused.
Oh, yes.
Focused on the, not just the birth, but the death of this child.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, we order Christmas cards this year from my friend John Fraser, Pastor John Fraser. He and Gavin Mice came up with this absolutely incredible idea. So on the front of the card, on one side, there's the Virgin holding the little baby. And on the other side is Mary under the cross holding her dead son. And in the middle, what child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? What child is this? And you open it up, and there's a crown of thorns. This is Christ the King. It's like, yes. I shared that around in our Office of National Mission Department. I remember they all, person after person, looked at it and said, yes, that's the whole thing. Yes, you know. And so you can't miss cross. joined together with this. And no one did that better. The hymn that we began with, All My Heart This Night Rejoices. Listen to this. Hear, the conqueror has spoken. Now the foe, sin and woe, death and hell are broken. God is man to deliver. And the Son now is one with our blood forever. Should we fear our God's displeasure? Who to save freely gave his most precious treasure? To redeem us, he has given his own Son from the throne of his might in heaven. See the Lamb, our sin once taking, to the cross, suffering loss, full atonement making. For our life, his own he tenders, and his grace, all our race, fit for glory renders. There it is, whole thing.
Pastor Will Whedon is director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He hosts a radio show called Thy Strong Word. Will, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you so much, Todd. Have a blessed Christmas.
Folks, if you appreciate Issues, Etc., help us teach the faith once for all delivered to the saints by making a year-end tax-deductible donation in the next week. You can contribute online at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues, Etc., and send it to Issues, Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. That's Issues, Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. For any size year-end donation, we'll send you an audio link to sermons that I've preached on Advent and on Christmas. Now, if you contribute by check, please write your email address in the memo line so that we can email you that audio link of those sermons. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2014. In the next hour of Issues, Etc. on this Christmas Eve, we'll discuss the Incarnation in Handel's Messiah. Dr. Joseph Hurl of Concordia University, Nebraska will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as his baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.